Go deep with me, so we can make a little adjustment. Now, a lot of my listeners like to explore dominance with, well, props. Hypnosis is ultimately a prop, an aid, a support to help a person implement something they already desire. We all have flags and willpower. That's part of the purpose behind locking a chastity device on your lover in the first place. It's part of orgasm control, a sign of submission. Now, there is a kind of mixed blessing involved there. Most people can find a way around the chastity device. Most people can find that they have a good excuse for having a key to use in emergency circumstances. TSA screening, etc. But a person who can take off their chastity device and is perhaps wishy-washy about how long they want to go without orgasm might remove it anyway, might give themselves pleasure, and then re-don it and pretend nothing happened. Now, if you really want to explore submission, if you really want to understand it in all its intricacy, well, you can't be doing that. But training your mind to the level of required discipline to allow you to focus completely and totally on implementing the little contract between you and your key holder, well, that might require aid. It might require everything to be put in perspective, for you to be taken very deep and given some simple instructions, triggers, signals, associated information that your subconscious can file away and utilize at a later date, tie together, reminding you and rededicating you to your purpose, letting you fixate on how it feels even better to stay bound and be given your pleasure, to truly submit and surrender your orgasm to your partner, to allow the one who holds your key to actually hold the key. And, since after all they're responsible for ensuring that you understand the depths of your denial, the kind of training that you can undergo here would allow and allot some security, safety, comfort to that partner. After all, if you're going to dedicate yourself to your key holder, allow them to grasp your orgasms in hand and dole them out at their pleasure, at their discretion, it's somewhat important that they feel secure and empowered, that they feel confident that if they're not giving it to you, you're not getting it. And arming them with a few little keys to your subconscious, a few scales that can be tipped with the right word, balanced out with another, locks that are more than merely physical. In so doing, the security they're granted will give them greater confidence in play, the sense of power that inspires true creativity. And so I propose the following. If you want to delve spiraling into the depths of orgasm control, of chastity, of binding yourself over to a person, of letting that key be a symbol of true submission, then you should arm them with that kind of confidence, and they'll be increasingly creative. The torment and pleasure will be enhanced, and they will have more room in which to do so comfortably. A person in their comfort zone is endlessly creative, and far more erotic. So if you want to truly explore this, you should listen to me. Allow what I say to inform the choices that your subconscious makes, and to fuel your conscious mind's awareness of just how truly bound they are. So, first we set up the framework in which we're going to work. The idea of a relationship, a person you've chosen to trust, to control your orgasms, the person to whom you've given that little vow of chastity. We'll call them the keyholder for the purpose of this conversation with your mind. But other terms are used. Master or mistress, sir, madam, ma'am, princess, whatever you prefer. I have one particular couple who I work with who just address each other by name. It doesn't matter. It's the relationship that's important, as in so much else that we'll do here. As I slowly lay out circumstances in which it is appropriate for you to be gratified, realize that the only boundary that will exist is your pre-existing promise, the contract you've made with that person. It could be explicit. It could merely be implicit. Maybe they are the ones who've sent you here to listen to my voice. But if I want to convey to you the importance of serving, of listening to these triggers and allowing them to penetrate, of reinforcing the security and sense of security that your partner in this feels, knowing that you are not only unable, but on some level unwilling to seek any gratification absent their consent, absent their vigorous authorization. Therefore, I set up this little paradigm for you. And the things I say are part of a set of rules you should allow to be created in your mind. And the reason that these rules are attractive is threefold, and the ways in which they will work upon you are twofold. Firstly, in knowing that by granting security to your partner in this endeavor of chastity, this learning process by which your body gradually becomes entrained to come only when allowed, explicitly allowed. And we'll discuss explicit allowance later. But that's the first reason. The security that your partner would have will encourage creativity, vibrance, investiture in the relationship. By making it a contract that both of you know will be carried out, you're really just arming your partner, your significant other, your keyholder, with the tools to be who they want to be dominant, to be directors of your sexual impulse. And I think we can both agree that sounds amazing. And aside from that freedom, there's also the mention I made before of exploration. To plumb the true depths of orgasm denial, chastity, control. All of these things are tied into an exercise in willpower. So when I speak to your conscious mind and your subconscious, when I present tools and devices by which your keyholder can extricate you from the prison of your own lusty desires, I'm really enabling you to go further down that path than you as a person would be able to go otherwise, by arming you with the tools to slide deeper into trance here. I'm really preparing a fertile bed for ideas, linked experiences. And that is the final element, the final excellent reason I put to you, consciously and subconsciously. Imagine having your keyholder bind you up in a device to keep you locked away, to prevent stimulation. And your mind knows, well, I could just rub a vibrator up against it, or reach through the bars, or otherwise interact with it if I want to get off, so it's not like it's impossible to cheat. And then, to prove it to yourself, maybe you try to slide your fingers past the bars. Maybe you try to investigate your own state, explore how you could give yourself pleasure, only to find that your hands simply don't move that way, that your subconscious mind knows what it's taking your conscious mind a while to arrive at, that it's far more pleasurable to remain bound, to be trustworthy and let your keyholder be secure in your position, to let that chastity device have a control over your mind as well as your body, that is stronger than steel. And since that's so attractive, by making it one of the rules under which your mind operates, we arm you with knowledge and tools to explore chastity deeper. And the ways this will work are the conscious. Your mind knows what's expected. If you've listened to my work, then you know I prize trust and rapport. It wouldn't just be like deceiving your key holder. To touch yourself, to pleasure yourself, to remove the device for any purpose other than cleaning it or safety. To remove the device for any reason other than cleaning it, safety, or the instruction of your key holder would be to betray me as well. After all, by listening to this work, you're signing up for a little training with me, handing me license to help your mind along, to present intriguing logical scenarios, and while you're in a drifting state that you've allowed yourself to enter, helping your subconscious mind to forge connections between one sensation and another, one memory and another, one thought and another. So when I present you triggers, it would be wrong for you to simply ignore or not operate on them. Your conscious mind knows that pleasing me and performing actions of rapport actually enables you to go deeper for hypnosis. And since this file is going to be so pleasurable as it slides into your mind, you might find yourself returning here again and again. And that kind of return is a pleasurable reminder, a refresher course as you do the deeper, harder coursework on the path to chastity, teasing, denial. Listen to my voice. Let it be so. Let your mind follow me as I present a woven litany, a webwork of desire, which sits around your mind, encasing it, invisible, undetectable, until the right words call it up, until the right mind meets with your mind and calls forth the shuddering, orgasmic feeling of not orgasming until you're allowed, of not coming until you are told that you must. And then when you are told that, to feel it resonate through your body and send you shuddering into transports of delight. That is what we want to explore. So follow my voice as I present a framework, a litany of pleasure. A little key holder's mantra, tools, which they can use with you when you find a trusted person to whom you wish to dedicate yourself, body, and orgasm, and soul, and mind, and all those fun things that are tied up into chaste existence. And that is what it is we discuss. A chaste existence. To exist in a state of constant chastity, in partnership with your key holder, giving them time to feel comfortable in the security of your body, of your orgasm, and as a result, arming them with room to make inspired decisions about your pleasure. So that's what we'll do first. Imagine the belt being slid onto your body. Any kind of physical chastity device counts as a belt here, preferably with a lock and a key. But even if it just has a buckle closed, it would still be inappropriate for you to even try to remove it, except under very specific circumstances. When that chastity belt goes on, whether you put it on because you're at a distance from your key holder, or they put it on physically, a pleasurable, indulgent experience in itself, when that occurs, that is secure. That security mode. You can freely manipulate the belt for purposes of cleaning, adjusting for comfort. Imagine a little gateway on your nerves so that when you send the signal to adjust your belt, the intention behind that signal, that travels too. And if you're trying to command your limbs to shift into a position so you could manipulate it to gain release. Well, whether it's reaching through the bars or running a vibrator over the belt, that just isn't acceptable. And you'd find yourself perhaps not moving in the first place, pausing with the vibrator or your hand inches from the belt. That feeling of guilt over trying to get unauthorized gratification. Imagining your key holder and their disappointment if they knew. My disappointment, too. That should happen whenever the belt goes on. And it should only end. It will only end when the key holder unlocks the belt, or removes the belt, or allows it to be removed, instructing that you do so with a signal or a word. Now that's one important facet, that under no circumstances will that belt be manipulated. It's a sign, a little symbol between you and your key holder. When it's on, you might as well not even try, because trying will just be met with a strong mental reminder and a feeling of hypnotic freezing. As if your hands, your arms, your limbs, they all work fine. But when you try to send the command to your body to remove the belt, to bypass the belt, and you're not doing it for cleaning, safety, such as to avoid TSA screening, or at the direct instruction of your key holder, through email, text, phone, or in person, no matter what happens, you'll find yourself locked out, mentally as well as physically. Now that's all very well, but what if you're playing with your key holder from far away, and they instruct you to take off the belt, and they want to tell you to put it back on? Now, you could lie, I'm not saying you would, but people who are desperate for orgasm do funny things. Your key holder knows that you won't take off the belt without their instruction. And if they put it on you or watched you put it on, they know it's on. But once they let you take it off, unless they have time to do a visual check, they won't be sure you put it back on. And then you could get away with all the stolen orgasms you want. Therefore, the simplest solution is this. What if your key holder just never let you take the belt off? That would be bad. So since you want to be able to take it off, you must want to give your key holder the assurance that you'll put it back on. Therefore, since you want to take it off sometimes for pleasure, instead of just for purpose, then I think when your key holder instructs you, wear your chastity belt, your mind should go into a hypnotic state like this one, relaxed, comfortable, pleasurable. The best feeling in the world. And maybe in that dazed state, you'd feel a gentle compulsion in the back of your mind to either put on the belt or to have it put back on. In fact, when you're instructed to wear your chastity belt, you'll feel such a compulsion, whining, resistance, everything will fade away. And instead you'll simply be blank, pet. A blank, compliant, relaxed person. As long as it is safe to be so. Until the belt is back on. In fact, it would be so powerful a compulsion. That, if your key holder told you to wear your chastity belt. But they didn't feel like putting it on you right away. You would beg to be put back in it. Asking nicely, pleadingly. Wanting it back on, until it's locked in place. Now afterward, you might return to normal, surprised that it's back on you, wondering why you wanted that. But it'll still feel like the most natural thing in the world. And the reason is this. If your key holder didn't have some kind of guarantee that you'd put it back on, maybe they'd never let you take it off. And that would be terrible. Therefore, since you want to be able to take it off sometimes, you must also want to be compelled to put it back on. or else you might not get to take it off. Now, the other issue. It would be so easy to just not get any pleasure except when you're let out of your belt. But it would be much more fun if there were other times to feel pleasure. Other opportunities to explore pleasure without the risk of you coming. So this would be my thought. Maybe there should be a command that causes all the arousal to leave your body. Any firmness, any wetness, any warmth and pleasure between your legs, fading out of existence when those words are said. When the right words are said, you'll feel the inside of your mind empty out, blank, ready to have your belt back on because your arousal simply vanishes. Granted, when you're untriggered, the arousal comes flooding back like a wave. But what if they could just look at you, your key holder, and say, quiet down? And suddenly, all the urges would do just that. All the desires, the needs, the cravings would vanish and be replaced with a peaceful blankness. You would feel the physical signs of your arousal fade away. Your body would become limp, loose, relaxed, and you would simply be completely at peace. That's what should happen whenever the word quiet down is said authoritatively to you by a person you think of as your key holder. And this would happen whether the belt was on or off. You would suddenly feel your urges fade, and a desire for hypnotic pleasure replace them. And that pleasure would grow until you were consumed by that thoughtlessness, that blankness, that lack of arousal. Now, I think that that's fun because it means they can turn it off, and they can turn it on by saying, normal pet, return to normal, because they'll know that it's blank. Or they could say something more pleasurable, like you're released and let the arousal flow back. When they signify they want that arousal to come back, it does with a vengeance. Oh, yes. But there should be more teasing than that. After all, if you're really going to surrender control of your orgasms, it should be the case that whenever you hear, no coming now, no coming, you feel a little block appear in your head. Remember that block that prevented you from touching yourself when you were in your belt? Well, imagine that, except for orgasm. So that even if you were brought to the edge, if your key holder had told you, no coming now, you'd find yourself simply unable. Unable to push over the edge, unable to do anything but lie there, chaste, no matter what kind of pleasure is being put between your legs, no matter what kind of riding and thrusting is going on, what kind of sucking and licking, what kind of stroking and rubbing. None of it is sufficient. And that's how it is. Your mind fixated on the very idea, locked into it. Imagine the pleasure your keyholder could give you if they said no coming now and then stroked you until you were right on the edge or directed you to tease yourself and only eventually let you go. And when you finally came, oh, yes. Now, when you remove your device for cleaning or because you have to go somewhere where you might be publicly exposed, it is always acceptable to take it off for those purposes if you're able. When you do that, it's important that you not stroke. We know that the better you hand off your orgasms to your key holder, the more powerful they'll be when they happen. Imagine that. And really, the most important part there is you just won't be able to will yourself to have pleasure, even if it's off, unless it's at your keyholder's direction. But we should spice that up more. Imagine you're lying there. You can feel the coolness of the chastity device, caging up your most sensitive area. You can feel the pleasure in your head, but then, slowly, you realize that you find it quite impossible to move your body. You hear the click of a key. The device is pulled away, and a hand trails between your legs, exploring you, teasing you, and a cool voice rings out, "No coming now." And then the stroking and touching begins, and you begin the slow climb toward the hill of orgasmic pleasure, knowing in your mind that you won't be able to get off. But maybe then you wonder why it just feels so difficult to move your body at all. Why that's such a tough thing to do. And then you see your key holder reach out and run one finger over your arm, your right arm. Suddenly your arm is able to move. It moves between your legs and starts helping, and your key holder allows it. But then, just when you feel yourself pushing toward orgasm as if you were about to cross that boundary, your key holder takes the hand that's between your legs, that's been helping, and touches it, and says, "Freeze." And suddenly, the hand you were using to help tease yourself stops moving. Maybe you whimper with pleasure, maybe you whimper with need, but there's nothing in the world you could do. It's just as if you were trying to remove your chastity device for pleasure. It's quite impossible to touch. In fact, any place your key holder touches and says "freeze" locks up as if you were in a deep hypnotic trance. And it stays that way either until you have to move for safety and comfort, or until your key holder touches that part and says "unfreeze," or simply touches it and looks at you in a way that conveys that you should unfreeze. And this can be done to any body part. Maybe to your legs to keep you from moving and keep you standing, as long as it's safe to do so. Maybe your key holder could put your hands between your legs or behind your back and freeze them there. But whatever happens, that kind of control, I think we can agree, is very useful for going into deeper explorations of hypnotic orgasm control and fun together. And since you want to explore that fun, whenever you are told to put on your belt, you will do so, becoming a blank pet as you do. When your belt is on, doing anything to try and pleasure yourself without your key holder's permission will be not only impossible, but out of the question. In fact, when you're told to put your belt on, perplexingly, you'll find yourself wanting it on. So badly that you'd beg for the privilege of being locked away from your orgasms. Strange, that. More than that, when your belt is on, or when your belt is off, if you're told to quiet down, you'll feel those urges. You know, those building urges that have been set up in your brain. You'll feel them fading away, leaving your body unaroused, blank. Perhaps a small smile on your face at how good it feels to just exist, commanded by your key holder. Quiet down, and when they stoke the fires again by releasing you, you'll feel that pleasure and arousal return with a vengeance. And when you have your chastity device off, whether for pleasure, or for cleaning, or for any other purpose, it will be impossible to stroke yourself, to touch yourself for pleasure, unless you know your key holder's okay with it. It'd be even better if they commanded it. And no matter what amount of teasing they give, if they say "no coming, pet," then until they say "normal, pet," or "I release you," or "order you to come," it will be quite impossible to reach orgasm, because it'd feel way better to just delay, to tease, to make that huge bubble of energy building up with need even bigger. And as it gets bigger, you know the orgasm will eventually, someday, be so good. And that's why, when you are touched in the right place, any part of your body, your arm, your leg, that area will freeze, Your mouth, your eyes closed or open, blinking only occasionally. Unless it needs to move for safety, if you are touched by one of your keyholder's fingers and commanded to freeze, you will do so. That part of your body will freeze. If you're unsure, you can have them name body parts, but they'll only unfreeze when they are touched with one finger and you are instructed to unfreeze, or when they have to unfreeze for safety. So, you are secure when you are in your belt. Removing it without permission is unthinkable, unless it's for safety, cleaning, or to avoid public exposure. When your key holder tells you to wear your chastity belt, you do so. In fact, even you might be surprised by how little argument you have with that idea. When you're told to quiet down, your arousal vanishes, making it easy to get you into your chastity belt. Even easier. When you're told, no coming now, no coming, pet, it will be impossible to come until you are released from that compulsion, allowed to do so. You will not stroke when you have your belt off, unless you are permitted to tease yourself. You know you'll freeze. It'll be just like my voice giving you a hypnotic induction that makes you too drowsy to bother moving a particular body part. That helps you relax into a deep trance-like state, where it feels better to just be than to act. And therefore, if your legs are frozen, you'll just stand there or lay there. If your mind is frozen, you'll just wait, be blank, pet, and feel pleasure. I think there's one level beyond that. Here's something. When your key holder wants to allow you to explore orgasm, but doesn't want you to go all the way, maybe it's punishment, maybe it's a reward, they should have the power to do so, because that will reinforce their security and allow you to explore this kind of orgasm better. Therefore, what I want you to do is imagine you're freed from your belt, you're blank, and you're ordered to stroke. So you do so. But then, your keyholder says, ruined only. Only ruined orgasms. And you might want to protest. You might want to gasp and beg your way out of it. But at that point, no matter how hard you stroke, no matter how hard you try, the instant that you come, it will be as if the area between your legs is off limits. The moment you cross the point of no return, your hands fly off your body, and you feel that wasted, ruined orgasm washing through it. And that will happen the next time you come after you are ordered to have ruined orgasms only. And your keyholder can keep ordering it, so that you must stroke. But once you come, your hands fly away, and you're left panting and wanting, but so reinforced in the pleasure that your keyholder's given you. The control. They wouldn't even need a belt nearby to do that. They could just give that order. Freeze you, make you unable to come, make you unaroused, order you into your belt. And once you're in your belt, you know you're secure. Order you to ruin an orgasm. All these things are powers that will enable you to fully explore orgasm control. To give to your keyholder power they might not have dreamed of, and security and comfort, so the two of you can explore together, letting these ideas wash into your mind. Listen to me. Let this lesson permeate you. When your belt is on, it is completely secure. You'll find it impossible to try to get past the bars, rub a vibrator over it, to cheat. Unauthorized gratification merely distracts from the wonderful bliss of the orgasm your keyholder will eventually give you. That's why, for their security, when you take that belt off and your keyholder says, wear your chastity belt, that compulsion, it will happen. You want the belt back on as fast as possible. And putting the belt on gives you pleasure. You become blank and ready. In fact, you'd even beg to have it on. Now that may surprise you. And maybe once it's on, you'll be amazed that you agreed to let it be locked back into place. But it's something you must do so the two of you can learn together. When you're told to quiet down, you feel your arousal vanish, fading away, so that you no longer feel edged and deprived. Instead, you be blank, pet. That's how it is. More than that, when your keyholder touches part of you and says, freeze, that part of your body stays where it is, as long as it's comfortable and safe for it to do so. And when they touch a body part and say, unfreeze, or indicate that body part should unfreeze, your hand, your arm, your mouth, your eyes, your chest, your legs, you'll be able to move them independently again. But not before. Unless it's unsafe. Speaking of safety, you'll have to take your belt off sometimes, for cleaning, or to avoid discovery, and that's okay. But when you have to take it off, you're going to find it impossible to stroke yourself. Impossible to masturbate. Just because the belt's off doesn't mean you can do it. And if you try, you'll just be reminded that you really want to try putting it back on as soon as you can. That's just how it is. Your belt is secure. You'll put it on when ordered. Your arousal belongs to your keyholder. Even your ability to move belongs to your keyholder. And if you're ordered to have a ruined orgasm, then the next time you masturbate, the moment you reach orgasm, your hands are gonna fly off your body. They're gonna move away from your crotch and leave you deprived right as soon as you cross the point of no return. And you'll think to yourself, at least this is how my keyholder wants it. And that is the pleasure that we've now learned. I hope you've enjoyed learning these things. But if you think that your learning is not absolutely complete, return here. Indeed, every time you start to feel that pleasurable obedience fade, return here, and you'll be learning everything again and again and again.